Gracious and loving God, we gather here in this place today, aware of your great love for us that we find and experience in so many different ways. We celebrate today the love of mothers, and we know that your love shines through so many of their lives as they help us to know more about who you are, about the kind of love that you offer us. Well, we thank you especially for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, because he represents a kind of love that's even deeper than that. And today we gather to celebrate that love and to remember that we take our place in his story. And so we lift to you today all of the thoughts and concerns, the sorrows and challenges that we have, for we know that you're a God of healing, a God of power, a God who is with us in the midst of whatever struggles that we experience, that we don't have to carry those things alone, that you've promised that you will be with us, that you will not only walk with us in the midst of those, but that you will take those burdens from us and you will give us rest. We thank you, Lord, for all of the ways that you work in our lives. And we celebrate families, celebrate friends. We celebrate this church community and all that it does in its ministries, especially its ministries with children and youth. We pray your guidance upon us as we seek to be faithful in all that we do. And Lord, now we join our voices together in praying together the prayer that you taught your disciples when you prayed. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I am the seed of God.
There we go. Thank you, choir. That was amazing. Beautiful, beautiful anthem. We are today beginning a new sermon series. We've been through the Easter season. Easter actually starts on Easter Sunday, and it lasts clear up until now. And now we're kind of in this transition time between Easter and what we call the Pentecost season, which we celebrate next Sunday, and we celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit. And of course, so the week before, we talk about the promise of power. Next week, we'll talk about the gift of power. But before I say anything more about that, I need to stop and pay my respects to mothers. Even though Mother's Day, as some pastors would like to point out, is not a religious holiday, I haven't been in ministry for 29 years not to have learned that you don't want to slight mothers on the one day of the year that is dedicated just to them. Even if I wasn't a pastor, I think I'd be smart enough to know if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. And that has pretty much been my experience my entire life. But we love moms. And obviously, motherhood is about more than just Mother's Day, right? Moms are really important to us. And oftentimes they are the ones who really show us in so many ways what God's love is like. And they help us develop into the people that we're supposed to be. So there was a guy back in the 20th century, his name was Erik Erikson, and he came up with this idea of developmental stages, that we all go through these developmental stages in order to grow into the people that we are supposed to be. And we have to get through each of these stages successfully in order to become fully grown, fully actualized adults. That's the idea. The first one that begins right at birth is the stage of trust versus mistrust. Is the world a place that we can trust or not? Are people, can we trust people? Can we trust anything or anyone? And it's obvious to see how moms play a really important role in that, because oftentimes, not always, and I know lots of examples of this, not always, but most of the time, they are the primary caregivers. They provide food for us out of their own bodies. Pretty amazing. They are there to comfort us and love us. Dads do that too, but moms often are the kind of the primary caregivers so early on. And because of that, other thinkers came along after Erikson and said, well, this also has a role to play in terms of how we think about God. And are we going to trust God? Is God somebody who trusts us, who loves us unconditionally, is with us in the midst of whatever we experience? And that's why it's so sad when children have to grow up without a mother. There's an old spiritual, maybe you've heard it before, it's called Sometimes I Feel Like a Motherless Child. Saddest, probably the saddest song you're ever going to hear. But my wife Tammy has helped me understand something about kids that grow up either without a mom or maybe without a mother that was able to provide for them the kind of care that they really needed. Her own mother died when she was in her 20s, but even before that, she started having babies so early and so fast that she wasn't always able to provide the kind of care that she needed to provide. But what Tammy had learned later as an adult is that when you come into the church, when you accept Christ as your Savior, then you get a new family with God as your Abba Father, and you get brothers and sisters in Christ, and you share something that in many ways is even more important than some of those biological connections. And Jesus talks about that, and I'm going to mention that a little bit later in the service today. He mentions that. There is something even more important than those biological connections that we have. And Jesus kind of gets at that something more in our text today, from Luke. And the context of this is that Jesus was raised from the dead on Easter. He's been with the disciples now for 40 days. He's been teaching them, and he is now preparing them for what's coming next. Okay? So we pick up in this is Luke 24, beginning at verse 44. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understanding the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending you upon what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. Then he led them up out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God. So I see in Jesus' words here kind of an outline for the life that is promised us, that something more that is promised us in faith. To all those who accept Christ as their Savior and seek to walk in Jesus' footsteps. And one of the things I see is that when we accept Jesus Christ, we become a part of a story that began long, long before we were ever even born. In the story that we just read from Luke, it says that Jesus opened their minds that they might understand the scriptures. And what Jesus was doing there is he was saying, I want you to understand that everything that you've read about in the law, so that's the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, everything that you've read about in the prophets, that's all of the, pretty much the rest of the Old Testament, and the Psalms, all of that led to what's happening now. It was all prophesied. And everything that you've witnessed, you've been witnesses of these things, is a fulfillment of God's plan going clear back to the very beginning of time, and now you're a part of that story. You see what he's saying? You're a part of that story because you've witnessed it, and now you're going to carry it on from here. And we should understand this idea of being a part of a story, I think, because we are a part of a story. We're a part of the story of a family. We're a part of a story of a nation, right? I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud to be a part of a story that goes back 240 years to 1776 and to our Declaration of Independence. I'm a part of that story. You're a part of that story. Whether you want to be or not, you're a part of that story. Now, I know that there are some people that like to fly this flag, which always kind of surprises me, especially when I see it in places like Iowa and Illinois and other places that were a part of the Union. I know my ancestors didn't fight on that side. But even if you consider yourself more a rebel than a Yankee, that story still only takes you back 150 years. That's not very long. I want you to consider this. When you came into church today and when we gather at the Lord's table, you're going to be taking your place in a story that goes back 2,000 years, okay? Way, way longer, way, way deeper roots than anything that anything we've talked about so far. And if you listen to what Jesus is saying in our text, then that story goes back even further than that. We're going clear back 5,000 years to Abraham and Sarah. And if we're connected to Abraham and Sarah, then that means we're connected to Mary and Joseph. And if we're connected to Mary and Joseph, then we're connected to the disciples. And of course, we're connected to what we're going to be talking about next week when we experience Pentecost and to the gift of power that came with that. And so the story of the Bible really is the story in which it's the soil in which we're rooted. It is what guides us, it's what directs us, it's what gives us our identity. It helps us know who we are and what we're supposed to do and be. Years ago, and the more we know about God and God's story, the more we know about ourselves. It's why it's so important that we're rooted in that story. Years ago, I was asked by my home congregation up around Des Moines, up in Madison County, Iowa, to come and speak to the graduates that were going to be graduating that afternoon. It was a Sunday afternoon commencement service, and I met with all of the graduates, and that particular graduating class, every single one of them was moving away from the community, which often happens, especially in small towns. So they were going off to college, they were going into the military, I think some maybe were going away to work. And what I wanted them to remember, I wanted them to remember where they came from, I wanted them to remember those stories that they had heard in Sunday school and youth group and in worship and at vacation Bible school and at church camp. I wanted them to remember the people that had told them those stories so that they could remember who they were and where they came from. And as a part of that, I had just read a book. Some of you might be familiar with this, called Watership Down. It's a book by a guy named Richard Adams, and it's a book about rabbits, but it's really about way more than just rabbits. It's been years ago that I read it, but I highly recommend it. And he starts off the book by telling you that rabbits love to tell stories, and they especially love to tell stories about the mischievous prince of rabbits. And they do this as rabbits do this for entertainment, but they also do it to guide their lives so that they know what to do. So the book actually begins when a bulldozer comes in and destroys their home, and they barely escape with their lives. And so you've got this wandering band of rabbits trying to find a new place to live, kind of like the wandering children of Israel in the wilderness. In the course of the book, they come upon two different communities. And they are structured. One, it seems like it was real authoritarian, and one was kind of laissez-faire, and it was very, very, very different in terms of the way they were structured. But what they had in common was that neither community remembered or told those old stories about the Prince of Rabbits. They didn't even remember those stories. And it doesn't take them long before they figure out that these communities are sick and they're dying. And so they move, and eventually they find, basically create their own home on Watership Down. And they do it based on those old sacred stories that guide them, that remind them of who they are. So I shared that with the kids because I wanted them to know that you're never too old and you're never too smart for those stories that shape us. That those stories are our stories. And we are rooted in those stories. So the first thing that we learn about life in the Spirit is that you're a part of a story that began long before you were ever born. You're connected 5,000 years ago to Abraham and Sarah and to those disciples that gathered in that upper room for that Last Supper. And this place may only be 10 years old in this place, but this place is as ancient as any place you're ever going to go, ever. You're a part of that story. Second thing we learn is that God put you here and rooted you here in this history and in this community for a reason. It's not just because. You're here for a reason, and that reason is that you have a mission. You have a purpose. It's not an accident. God has created you for a reason, and that reason is to be and to share the good news. That is our mission. Our mission leads us to be and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That's about as gospel as you get. And we see that going clear back. If you look at the story of the Bible in the beginning of Genesis, Adam and Eve fall away. They're disobedient. They fall out of that loving, intimate relationship that they had with God. And the rest of the Bible is the story of God seeking to be reconciled with his children, to enter back into that relationship. And so in the New Testament, Paul says, you have been given this ministry of reconciliation. It's just another way of saying, it's your job to be and to share, to live out and to give testimony to this gospel. And as Jesus says, right in our text today, your job now is to see that that message of repentance and forgiveness of sins is proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. That's our job. And so let's just go over and make sure we know what we've talked about today. First thing is that you're a part of an ancient story. That story's not over. It's still being written. You're a part of a community that extends beyond the walls of this building and beyond the borders of this country. Again, a community that's as ancient as Abraham and Sarah. And finally, you're called to a mission that comes directly from the heart of God. This is what God wants more than anything. He wants us to love him with heart, soul, strength, and mind. He wants us to enter into the intimacy of that relationship that he established with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. But I'm going to say today that none of that matters if we don't have the power of God at work in us. So it's great to have a story, and it's great to have a community, and it's great to have a mission and a purpose for being. But if we're not animated by the power of God, we're going to be dead on arrival. And so that's why Jesus says, right at the end, after he gives them their blessing, he says, stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. So wait until that power animates you, then you'll be ready to go. So next week we're going to talk about what that gift of power, the power of the Holy Spirit, means to us now. Let's pray together. Holy God, we thank you for the gift of your Son who came, who showed us what life is supposed to be like, how we're meant to live in obedience, in love, in joy. We pray that you would be with us as we wait for you to revive us again through the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' name.